Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
In my 27 years as a Victorian policewoman, I investigated everything from a stolen bicycle to a stolen life. Policing taught me a lot about human nature, which I explore in my podcasts with a variety of fascinating guests discussing the human side and impact of crime, not only on their lives, but mine as well. My podcasts are not suitable for children and some adults for that matter. If you find yourself affected by my subject matter, please contact Lifeline or any other support service or person that you feel comfortable with. My guests provide their recollection of an event or incident, sharing their thoughts and their emotions, but it's theirs and not everyone will agree with them. I understand that and I hope you do too. Thank you.
And I remember the day I made that decision. It was on the first strangulation. And I remember thinking, I've had these children, I'm responsible for them, so I will simply take it. My life's over.
You know, we talk a lot in my podcasts about the effects domestic and family violence has, not just on those the violence is directed towards, but also those who witness it, whether by seeing it, hearing it, or maybe seeing injuries attributed to it. We also hear guests talk about their experience with the justice system, which can be a positive experience or one they'd rather forget. Well, imagine the following scenario. You're the mother of two children, both of whom have learning difficulties which aren't insurmountable, but have certainly provided some challenges in their lives. You yourself have a learning disability, but like your children, you've managed those difficulties and learned ways to deal with them. With the challenges you and your children face, you are still able to run a highly successful and highly regarded business which takes you and your children all over the world. Such is your reputation and standing within that community. You're a trailblazer of sorts. Your passion is working closely with young and vulnerable children, seeing them attain levels of skill not dreamed of had it not been for you sharing your elite skills with patience, care, and commitment. Because of you, young children are flourishing and finding a self-belief that they didn't believe possible, to say nothing of their parents. But through all of this, you have a secret. You endure physical, psychological, and verbal abuse from your husband, which your children and some friends are witness to at times. Like so many other victims of domestic and family violence, you remain mute due to the fear of repercussions and allegations that you're being a drama queen. But it's not just you who remains mute. Those close to him have known about his behaviours for years and have chosen to remain mute too. Everyone is remaining mute, which allows him to continue his abuse because no one is talking about it. After enduring years of lockdowns and having to temporarily close your business, your husband suddenly leaves you. And on the very day he chooses to leave you is the day that you'd chosen to reopen your business after COVID. And further, on that day, you are served with an intervention order citing extraordinary instances which you categorically deny and state are untrue. But the fact that this intervention order has been served on you, it prohibits you working with children. Due to the protracted court appearances, the stress on yourself and your children, anxiety in legal meetings, conferences and fees, you decide it's easier to agree to the order without agreeing to the allegations, and so the order is granted for 3 years. The court isn't aware of your husband's violence towards you throughout your marriage, including incidents where he's tried to strangle you. Even providing a statement to police and his guilty plea isn't enough for the intervention order to be lifted, meaning the prohibition of you working with children remains, which has been your passion and livelihood for nearly 30 years. But you're not going to remain mute anymore because you don't want anyone else to suffer the way that you have. Thank you for your time, Anastasia. A very, very difficult subject to discuss, but as we've said, we need to discuss it. So welcome to NFI, and again, thank you for taking the time. Look, Anastasia, I'm so sorry for everything that's happened to you. I just cannot begin to imagine. I suppose, can we firstly start with when and how maybe you met your former husband, and when you first noticed that some signs within your relationship were concerning you? Can you share with us a bit about that?
Absolutely. So we met when I was very young. I was 22, and we started going out, and I had really never met someone who drank so much, to be quite honest. But when you're young, you go out, and that's what happens. And so I remember one distinct evening, it was a New Year's Eve, and he was particularly inebriated, and he got quite violent. We had been we'd been to an event at the art centre, and then we went to a friend's photography studio to take some photos, which was a bit of fun. And then he actually got really angry as we were leaving and went across the road and started kicking the door of the restaurant because they wanted to get food, and it turned quite violent. Another chap joined in, and it got really violent and really angry. And as we were catching a cab home, he was yelling obscenities. It sort of turned into, it was all my fault that the Mexican restaurant wasn't open at 2 o'clock in the morning. And I remember thinking it was being very, very, very odd. We weren't married at that time. And I remember thinking I was quite concerned. I mean, we'd seen other things before, but I hadn't seen anything quite like that. So I spoke to his mother briefly about it, and I said, look, you know, is this a common thing for my ex-husband to do? And she said, oh, look, no, there's a bit of, you know, anger management issues in the family. And I said, I remember asking her, was there any history of family violence? Was there any, you know, this is really concerning me, it's something I can't deal with? And she said, oh, no, you might have done something. And then sort of that went away. I was sort of almost told in a way that that's something women should put up with by his mother. Yeah. And we got married, and on the first night of our marriage, he was inebriated yet again and cross and tired, and pushed me into the couch. I was upset. I was leaving my family, and he said, oh, in a way, you know, what are you carrying on about? And looking back, there were many signs. It was usually when he was completely inebriated. But I did ask people about it. I did talk to people about this, and everyone just sort of shoved it aside. It was what he did. There was some of it in his family. His mum was like that. But, you know, that's just something you have to deal with. And being so young, you get conditioned to it.
Anastasia, can I just go back there? You said about that time at the restaurant and the first night of your wedding, which just blows my mind. But had you ever experienced a relationship like that before, where somebody was right? No. So were you like, were you shocked? Did you like? I just can't imagine how I would feel, because I've never been experienced to that side of sort of anger either. No. And I think you'd put it aside, wouldn't you, and think, oh, look, you know, he's had a bit to drink or whatever it may be. But, yes, I would imagine you make a few excuses thinking, wow, where'd that come from?
Oh, absolutely, you do. And when you have his friends validating the behaviour, and his mother and his sister, the only person that never validated that behaviour was his brother-in-law, who to this day is still my rock.
Really? How lovely.
Yeah. Oh, God, love him. What a man. They basically validated his behaviour. He was the party person, and he had a great sense of self. Mm-hmm. I think the first time we met him, I remember sitting in front of him, and he really was full of himself, completely drunk. And he was this wonderful, fabulous person who loved to make everyone feel quite low. He was better than everyone else. And I remember this at a dinner party at a friend's where I met him after the first meeting. And I remember thinking, oh, my goodness, you are full of yourself, but attraction's a weird thing.
Yes, you are so right. Yep.
Yeah, it's a really unusual thing. And there were alarm bells, and I did ask people for help along the way. I remember asking my brother for help, and it was turned around. It was me. I was the liar. It was my fault. You're making it up. And I know I wasn't, obviously, from the court results we've had. But people validate charismatic people. People who come across as charismatic and fabulous and are very good at being condescending and putting people down. At a very early stage in the relationship, you become conditioned to it. And it's slow burn. The serious stuff didn't happen really until the children were born. It was serious, but the physical violence didn't really happen until the children were born.
It's easy for me to say, Anastasia, but, you know, looking at just hearing those first couple of times that you met and leading up to your marriage, I'm thinking to myself, it's only a matter of time before it starts to get ugly and physical. Like, to me, and it's easy for us to look back, isn't it? But for me, I look at that and think there is a very, very manipulative, controlling man who is he's very, very good at people loving him, including you. And then when he gets them to where he wants them, he actually starts to chew them up, doesn't he, and spit them out, like, and treat them like they are just dirt.
I would definitely say yes. There is a serious history of family violence that I've only discovered in the last 2 years.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, his father was – so basically my ex-husband has repeated a pattern. Yes. So his father was incredibly violent. He got discharged from the army for drunken, disorderly, threatening and physically being violent to an officer superior to him, and he got dismissed from the army straight away. His mother left him because of the family violence and alcoholism. His mother was also an alcoholic. And there's a story of my ex-partner's birth father hanging his mother over the balcony and threatening her. So that's pretty violent. holding her by the feet and shaking her over the balcony. So as a kid, and then she remarried again and had a lot of boyfriends and remarried again, and it all involved a lot of alcoholism and violence. He is a young fella, was living in Queensland, and one of the husbands was, you know, was quite violent and alcoholic towards his mother, who would have been just as bad back, I'm 100% sure now, from all the research I've done. And his grandmother picked him up from the home in Queensland when he was 10 or 11 and took him back to Melbourne and sort of said to his mother, come and get your son. So clearly it was a dreadful childhood. There's no excuse for that, but he literally copied what he'd learnt.
And you're right, it's learned behaviour, and we're not making excuses for your former husband because, you know, you become adults and you realise what is acceptable and what isn't within society. But isn't it, I think that's why we have to start talking about domestic and family violence and what's acceptable as like in preschool, maybe in.
I think we do. I think it's got to start really, really young.
Because then the kids.
It's a really big. Yeah,
because then the kids might go home and think, you know, I went to school today, and they'd be thinking in their own heads, right? They'd be thinking, I went to school today, and they said that the way that Dad is yelling at Mum is not right, or the way that Mum's yelling at Dad, whatever, but at least they would start to think that's not normal or that is not acceptable, you know. It's I think it's got to start very early.
It's really scary, Narelle, because I have two elder sons who, you know, no one has asked me why I stayed. It's been quite interesting. But I've been honest and upfront as to why I stayed. I had two children, and I knew if I left with the law, they would have to go to their father every second weekend, and he's just not a fit father. And I knew that although now he's making out he's a fabulous fit father, amazing what happens, and manipulating older boys, but that's the standard story. He was not fit, and so the fear I had was leaving them with him every second weekend as they got older, him being so lenient from the drugs and alcohol and being able to do whatever they want and being men and growing up, which seems to be a standard statement of these people, that they would just literally lose their moral compass and backbone, which they have. And I do believe that's because I stood my ground and had to be firm and horribly controlling to make sure my children became extraordinary men they've become. And there'll be side effects from that, but they've seen it. And so you choose to leave the relationship for other reasons, but I consciously chose to stay when they were little. I realised when they were little how bad it was, but I was more fearful for what they would become if I left and they saw their dad every second weekend instead of me copying the abuse. So I decided to stay and take it. It was a conscious decision.
But just as you say then, and you're right, that if your boys did go and stay with him every second weekend, I suppose another fear you had is that they would learn the behaviours that their father had, and they may portray some of his or exhibit some of his behaviours that were not acceptable and were actually quite violent, cruel, all that sort of thing. Would that be right?
100%. Oh, look, 100%. And I remember the day I made that decision. It was on the first strangulation. And I remember thinking, well, I've had these children, I'm responsible for them, so I will simply take it. My life's over. And I'll just make sure that my boys get really, really well educated, become the good men I want them to be, and I'll just miss out. And it was a conscious decision. And I also know, speaking with this amazing woman, top psychologist, who deals with some really battered kids, dealing with social workers and things, and they literally have said to me, well, look, you know, it's not the best outcome for you, but you did the right thing for your kids. You know, it's really sad, but we all agree that me sort of putting my life aside for the kids means that I'm going to leave two good men on this earth. And it shouldn't be that way, but it was a conscious decision and a really hard one, because I look back at all the opportunities I have lost and the life that I have lost because I stayed for those 32 years. However, I am so responsible for my children that I couldn't leave two humans on this earth that weren't good people, and they are. And, you know, that's the difference, I think, between people choosing to leave, because I also knew that he used to threaten in the original days that, you know, he was always smarter and cleverer than me. Mm-hmm. And that was always a threat when he was drunk, and certainly when he'd come back from drinking, or if he'd been to a bar or a, you know, a brothel or a gay bar or whatever, that everyone was more beautiful and more wonderful than me, which actually is a bit of a giggle, Narelle, because I used to be a former model that worked around the world. So now looking back, I definitely wasn't what he was screaming in my face, but, you know, that's life, isn't it? We become what we're conditioned to become.
Oh, yes. And you know, there's a couple of things there that you've said that are really concerning. And you just said it and continued on. But, you know, the fact that you said something about the strangulation, like, that is so, oh, my God, Anastasia.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a T-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about UnitedHealthcare coverage at UH1.com. That's UH1.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
I just think to myself, that is That is so dangerous. My experience, and having done a number of podcasts with victims of domestic violence, I've found that strangulation, I mean, I suppose you don't have to be a Rhodes Scholar to work this out, but strangulation, once that happens in a relationship, the chances of you as the person being strangled actually being killed, it skyrockets. It is a precursor. It's an indicator that you are in grave danger. Like, you talk about it almost flippantly. I'm sure at the time you never realised the seriousness. It was just like, he's out of control. But my goodness, it's just so lucky. You are just so fortunate to still be here.
Yeah, I know. He was never out of control, Narelle, and he never is. He was always in control of everything he did, unless he was incredibly inebriated. Everything was pre-thought out. Even the way he's controlled his friends and what he's told them when he walked out so violently, he hasn't told them any of the criminal findings, any of the details. And these people who are his friends are his drinking buddies and businessmen who have helped him, you know, through this in really, really dishonest ways. Some of the ways the businessmen have helped my former partner leave and pull the family apart is quite disgusting, really. The strangulations were his thing. I didn't know how serious it was because I phoned the police after the first one and you know, we're talking probably 28 years ago with the first one. The police were flippant about it 28 years ago.
Yep.
I phoned them and they said, well, he needs to do an anger management program. Here's the number. So they didn't even come to the house, and I had a little person in the house at that time. And basically he did go to it, but after the first two visits, he said he was smarter than the person and it was a load of rubbish and there wasn't anything wrong with him. So every time I went for help in those early days, it was shrugged off. Family violence wasn't a thing. Men or partners it was accepted that they were just like that. So I got very used to and conditioned to dealing with it. Sometimes it did get too much and I would ask people for help or I would be silenced. So I got used to not being able to have my voice and talk to people about it. Mm-hmm. But when it got too much, I do remember speaking with my brother, and he just put it down that I was lying and my former partner just liked to drink. And he was a great bloke. So people just dusted over it to a point where I was so numb, to be quite honest, that I just was about my kids, my boys being safe, keeping them really busy, over-parenting. So they've done some amazing things as young men because I was just in constant vigilance of making sure they – you know, we're busy, and it was really quite extraordinary looking back. I don't know how I'm really still standing.
No, and I don't either. And another thing you said before that I wanted to pick up on, and it probably shows I come from a very conservative home life background. I'm not saying it was perfect, but just what you have been exposed to through your former husband, it's just like you just said then another thing about, you know, he used to come home from brothels and gay bars really inebriated. And I suppose it's showing a very personal bias here because I know – it's a whole new subject matter, I suppose, about brothels and gay bars. But my view is for a married man to be going to places like that, there's got to be – here I am again. But it's like there's a chink somewhere in the relationship where you're going to those places. I don't have a problem with somebody going to a brothel if they're having, I'm tying myself in twists here, but I just find that offensive that a married man would be coming home inebriated, having been to all these places, and you're at home with two children trying your best for those kids, and he's out having a whale of a time. I find that so offensive.
Narelle, it is. You become conditioned to it.
Of course you do, yes.
So it started back before we were married where it was accepted by the friends and people he surrounded himself in that this is what they did. And he had one particular friend who now doesn't live here. He lives in Bali, funny that. He's disappeared away on my ex-husband, but he was the instigator of all this kind of really bad behaviour. It was acceptable. And when you are at home with young children and you are just coping and you don't have, because my friends disappeared away, they didn't like him. And they never said anything, so they just disappeared away and you were working. So I was running a business and I was running some giant businesses at some stage, which I now realise he didn't like, and so I had to get rid of.
Because you because you were successful or becoming successful. He'd hate that, a person with personality.
Narelle, I was successful. One of the companies in Hong Kong was enormous. It made enough money for me to outright buy our first home without a mortgage. So, no, there's no way that wasn't successful. But every time that happened, it was always, well, why don't you help me with my business? Well, I did. I helped set up his first business. His accounts were paid for by my clients and my business. All the computer equipment was from my original Hong Kong business. And, in fact, his first clients were from my brother, and then I was bringing him clients. So, no, that's not. You know, it was an interesting muddle and a mess, but you become conditioned because I was so family focused. I only wanted children, so I wanted to keep my kids safe. And you make excuses. And when you have no one surrounding you saying this behaviour is wrong, no one, not one person, you start to believe that you're wrong.
So for the listeners, I just want to put this in perspective that even though you're talking about you know, what a successful business you had and you're able to buy your first house without a mortgage, yeah, life was great. But just so the listeners know, in the last couple of years, you have actually not had a home to live in. You have moved something like six times. Like, you haven't had a base. This is what domestic violence situations become. And what happens, just the sadness is just, it's not a correct description. And we will get to that, but I just want to put that in perspective, that listening to this, just remember that Anastasia, it all came crumbling down all because of domestic violence and her husband. Another thing I just wanted to ask you, just in this horrific situation you were in, would you, it's a hard question, but would you do it any differently? Would you do something different? Would you do it again? Because you did it for your kids. I can't imagine how else you would manage this. If you want your kids to grow up being good young men, how do you change the dynamics? What do you do?
Well, I think if it was 2023 and I was a young mum with, you know, two young boys now, we had my ex-partner's behaviour as it was then, I believe someone would be saying something now. And I think too, I would, in this day and age, I would have had more help. So I have had the Salvation Army be phenomenal and help me through some really difficult times. Mm-hmm. I have had some extraordinary lawyers help me through some really difficult times. And so people recognize it now, and I think I would have had more help. I'm not sure how I would have gone allowing the boys to go to my former husband every second weekend. I would be hoping that the courts would not allow them to go to him. However, speaking with lots of women at coffee mornings and so forth, I'm learning that the courts still allow the kids to go to perpetrators. They have to literally be ex-murderers before they stop the children from going to see their fathers. Mm. And so I don't know, because I know that I don't have alcoholic children. I know I don't have drug addict children. I know there are some serious issues. It's been a really tough 2 years for the three of us. Mm. But I have had some extraordinary, I call them earth angels, cover my family with just these beautiful blankets and keep them safe and watch over them like you wouldn't believe, because they've had to know the story. I'm severely dyslexic, so when he walked out, and it was just such a horrible shock that I couldn't even read the documents. It was just horrendous. I couldn't make heads or tails. Some lawyers are terribly questionable, and some of the things that they were doing on his side were bordering on dishonest. And so for me, it's that question of, I knew in my heart if I left my children with someone like that, I would be dealing with older men who had really serious issues, because it follows through. So it's a really tricky decision, because I'm just so for my kids and creating good people in this world. Mm. And kids copy bad behaviour. So if you're a drinker and you're a party person and you hang with people who are very questionable and you've got your kids with you and you've got different partners all the time, which would have happened because he would have repeated the pattern that his mother and father did. Mm. It would have happened. And I'm sure that's happening now, hidden, obviously. Mm. It's that I just couldn't live with myself leaving two children on this earth that were untoward. So it's a really tricky question. I reckon more people would talk to me about it. Would I leave? Well, I'd probably take them out of the country, I think, Narelle, in the middle of the night, illegally. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's in one way, like you say then that you had lawyers, and I think to myself that must have been at a time when you had money, because lawyers are not cheap. And I've often thought to myself, I've often said, I think the justice system has a lot of issues, and we could be here for a whole new podcast talking about that. But I believe that it's the more money you have is the better lawyer you get, which means the better chance you have of winning a case with a good lawyer. And I think justice should be level. It shouldn't be how much money you've got or you haven't got. You should get the same representation, whether you are on, almost begging for money, as is if you've got, condos and money coming out of your backside. It should be a level playing field, and it is not.
No, it's definitely not. And it's definitely not because there are honest, upright, good lawyers, and there are dishonest snake lawyers. Mm. And I have met the most bordering on dishonest snake group of lawyers I have ever met. And they got away with so much because they planned it. And they use these frightening, bullying tactics to other lawyers, and they charge a bomb. And then there are those beautiful people who stop charging you because you can't afford it, which has happened to me as well. So there are really good people out there, but the justice system is very, very wrong. So I have observed grandmas lose custody of grandchildren and grandchildren go back to their drug addict parents. I have observed judges very frustrated in courts because, you know, things have been presented to them where they've had to make a particular decision. I have watched barristers lie and bamboozle poor policemen outside of a court before we go in for a sentencing. And uphold just, I've sat in a court issue with an IVO watching a barrister lie about my circumstances and not even calling me by my right name just so that my ex could put a three-year IVO on me. Utter lies. This, and he's supposedly head of the barrister group. This, and I just thought, you are a shameful person. And I was there with no lawyer, no money, no understanding of the system, dyslexic, a judge who clearly knew who the barrister was because he was so fabulous and famous. My ex had a team of lawyers sitting on the other side and a barrister literally lying through their teeth about the whole thing. And I had it slapped on me. I explained to the judge that I needed to be able to work. And she said, well, this was a civil case, you should be able to work. And then lo and behold, a year later, I had to prove that I couldn't work, and I could. I had a million letters and affidavits and people willing to sit in the witness box. But to watch lying in court by top barristers is appalling. And the justice system not picking it up because they're famous and fabulous is wrong.
Next week, Anastasia talks more about the day her former husband left her, the ramifications of him taking out an intervention order upon her, and her rapid fall into depression and unemployment. Lots of couples have issues which they can't sort out and they have to resort to intervention orders, but I don't know many former partners who are so hell-bent on making their former partner's world so difficult and they're so vindictive that they take out an intervention order which will not only completely ruin their partner's future, career, prospects and earnings, but which, because the mother has to leave the family home and because the children are with her, the children have to leave the family home as well. Couch surfing with their mum. What sort of a former partner would do that to their own children? Yes, many husbands are the subject of intervention orders taken out by their former wives and which causes them to have to leave the family home and find accommodation elsewhere. But it doesn't happen often where the husband has custody of their children and the children have to leave the family home as well. To directly impact the life of your children because you and your partner can't put aside differences is so unfair on the children. They're the innocent parties. And rightly or wrongly, the majority of court decisions regarding family matters where children are involved tend to side with the children remaining with the mother, unless, of course, there's extenuating circumstances. The father will generally, again, unless there's extenuating circumstances, have periodic custody, maybe once a fortnight, maybe rotating on a weekly basis between parents. But in Anastasia's case, he made sure his children suffered as well as Anastasia, as in my view, he knew that by affecting his children, it would affect his former wife even more. Yes, there's always two sides to every story, which I bang on about a lot, don't I? And I admit to only hearing Anastasia's version of events, but there's a difference. Anastasia has proof that she was telling the truth through the court finding her former husband guilty of criminal behaviours towards her. I just can't imagine how a loving and doting father would make sure that his children suffered because he despised his former wife so much. Anyway, have a good week and we'll talk next week. Thank you. As you've probably noticed, we've moved to a new platform called Acast. I think that's the right expression, I've got no idea. And my previous reviews haven't transferred over. I need reviews. Could you do me a favour and put up a review? And thank you so much for your support and patronage. With your help, I can give you that little bit extra. Thanks.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.